This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Good to be with you.
And Bridget, I've been talking on most of our shows about the big golf outing coming up, and I noticed that you stole my piece of paper, so you've got to talk about it.
Oh, I do. Okay. Well, we've got our, how many annual?
Boy, that's always a question. I believe eighth annual, although the golf outing probably is older than that, because it originally started out as the Catholic Business Exchange golf outing with Jim Liston and crew.
Yeah.
And they always let Catholic Radio kind of participate in a little bit and make a little bit of funding in it that we needed. And then eventually Jim said, well, you guys, why don't you just take the whole thing over? So we were able to take, rather than start from scratch, we were able to take a going event that had a reputation for being a lot of fun and a lot of people like to turn out for. And so we were able to start right there courtesy of Catholic Business Exchange. So that was a big thing for us, and we appreciate that very much.
Well, it's coming up. It's Tuesday, May 21st. It's at Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers, and that is a new venue for us, right, Jim?
Yes, we've been at over the years, we've been at several different places, but Ironwood is going to be a lot of fun this year, and there's going to be a lot of great food, too. They're going to make lunch for us on the grill for you're going to have to smell it while you're
on the green egg grill, right? Is that what it's called?
Right.
Something like that?
Well, the lunch will probably be on an open grill, and then the dinner is going to be a smoked pork loin cooked on the big green egg, they call it.
Yes.
And people that are familiar with that, it's a smoker grill, and we've heard that sometimes at the golf course when they have used this grill for similar purposes, that some of the golfers, as they get a little close to dinner hour there, have a little trouble concentrating on their golf cannon because dinner smells so good.
Oh, and let's talk about the golf cannon because, you know, you don't want to forget about talking about that. That's just too fun not to mention.
That's going to be a great thing. If you want to see a picture of it, go to our website, catholicradioindy.org. And as you look, you'll see what appears to be a man standing in front of a woods with kind of, to me, looks like a bazooka on his shoulder.
It does look like a bazooka.
It's about 4 foot long, and you aim it, pull a trigger, and it'll fire a golf ball about 300 yards down the fairway. And that is going to be, everybody's going to have an opportunity to do that if they want to during our golf outing. So that is May 21st coming up. You can sign up at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. And also, while you're there, check out the Walking for Dreams. If you're not a golfer, but this is a family and pet event that is coming up on Sunday, May 19th, on the canal downtown. Going to be a fun Sunday afternoon walk for a very good cause. That would be Catholic Radio Indy. So you can check that out as well on the website, CatholicRadioIndy.org.
So today, I was not really hard up for a guest or anything. That's not why I have Timothy O'Donnell in the studio.
You probably That's good to know. That would hurt my feelings.
No, actually, Tim's one of my favorite people.
And he has escaped from the cave.
Correct. I'm out. They let me loose.
They've given him a little.
Here I am on Faith in Action.
Yes. So you didn't tune into the wrong show. Yes. Timothy O'Donnell is one of the co-hosts of the Catholic Cave. So you heard his voice here many, many times. He is also an ethics instructor. You teach at Ivy Tech. Is that correct?
I do. And also Butler University.
And so you do a lot of things. But we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence.
Yes.
We're going to talk about what that is, but we're going to also talk about it from a Catholic perspective. So people mm-hmm. think, now, what's artificial intelligence? Well, we're going to get into that.
You know, when I first heard about artificial intelligence, it might have been, maybe 15 or more years ago. And I think it was the Jeopardy television show had I forget what its name was. It was a computer. And they put the computer against two other guests, mm-hmm. and the computer had to answer the questions or ask the questions in the case of Jeopardy. And I think actually kind of won, but it was so unique. And then it was a computer that apparently on the spot was thinking, researching, and answering the questions as fast or faster than the human contestants on it. And that seemed like, wow, that's just crazy. How could that ever happen? And now we're all carrying in our pocket or purse a device that'll make that look like an antique.
That's exactly right.
So, Tim, not all of our listeners know all about your background. So talk a little bit, and this might take up the whole show, but but Tim, tell us about yourself.
So one of my professional interests is in the higher education.
Okay.
I've been fortunate enough to complete undergraduate and graduate studies in Catholic philosophy and Catholic theology, and then over the past 7-8 years, I began teaching at the college level, both at Ivy Tech, at Butler, and then I've also I spent 6 years as the director of religious education at St. John Vianney Parish, which was great. I might be going back into that role at St. Patrick's here. We're talking to Father Dzinski about that. So I just had I've also been very active in doing some scholarly or academic type work. So I've been involved in different symposiums and think tanks where I've tried to advance our conversation, if you will, on different topics. The reason why I'm here is that I was invited to present a lecture at Benedictine College earlier this year at their symposium for the new evangelization, which I've been a part of about 6 years now. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend, though, because of had pneumonia.
That's no good.
Still have it a little bit. But as in the lecture that I was going to give that they had asked me to present was the topic or theme for the symposium was the human person and technology. And as I reflected on that topic, in doing some research and some reading on that, what I discovered is I think there's a new threat to the human person. And that's what I think when we want to talk about here in Faith in Action is try to build some awareness around artificial intelligence, specifically as it's being used in what's known as or what's coined now as surveillance capitalism, what its implications are, how it works, and why it might be dangerous and dehumanizing, and then turn to something hopeful, which is like, well, what can we do about it? That
right.
kind of thing.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Timothy O'Donnell. He is an ethics instructor. He is the Catholic Cave co-host, and we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence from a Catholic perspective. How do you define artificial intelligence? Let's start there.
So artificial intelligence is fed by data, often referred to as big data. So there's all kinds of tools that are available through technology that identify, one of the most common ones, you go
where
online. Yeah, yeah, where you're at. There's GPS tracking. There's
where
what
you
do, where you shop, what you bought, what you didn't buy. So there's all these data points that are out there that get fed into artificial intelligence, sometimes also called machine intelligence. These are sophisticated digital platforms that manipulate the data and use algorithms specifically. Initially, if you go back to about the year 2000, the initial goal was to better match consumer desire with products and services. So the initial thrust in this commercial setting was to better align, you know, wants and needs, and which in and of itself sounds fairly benign.
Innocuous.
Right.
It exactly. always starts that way, right?
Right. Especially in those science fiction movies, right? Exactly. The robots are always friendly at first, but by about halfway through, they're trying to kill us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's not that far-fetched
yeah,
from what I think might be happening.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, we go in there.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, like Amazon, you buy, you know, you look at a pair of shoes, and this keeps mm-hmm. happening to me. I look at a pair of shoes, and then yeah, I didn't buy the shoes, but then every so often the shoes keep popping up. Is that what we're talking about yeah. here, kind
of? That's a part. Yes, that's a great example of it. And notice that those shoes pop up not just when you're on Amazon any longer.
Yeah.
But you're on all sorts of other kind of unrelated websites.
It's following me everywhere.
It is following
I go.
You around. That's
those
right.
Shoes.
That's right.
And the strangest part of that to me is sometimes I have a tablet and I have a laptop and I have a PC at home. And I can be looking at something on the tablet and just, you know, out of curiosity, looking at this or that and forget all about it. Next time I go to my email somewhere on a different computer, as long as they're all my computers, but on a different computer, there it is. You think, how did that happen?
Right. That's exactly what we're talking about.
So I want to talk about what are some of the components of this surveillance capital.
So surveillance capitalism. Capitalism. So what I really did is I drew a lot of my research from a book by Professor Shoshana Zuboff, who is a professor of business at Harvard, and she's a scholar, author, speaker. And the full name of her book, which might catch our attention, is The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, The Fight for a Human Future at the New Frontier of Power. And what she's talking about is, what she begins to talk about or point out is that we're their capitalism itself is being distorted through the use of surveillance of people's personal private experiences that are then being extracted into what's been termed behavioral surplus. So by tracking what we're doing or not doing, by seeing what we're buying or not buying, by the various activities that we're engaged in our locations, the way we're interacting or interfacing, say, through social media, this all gets harvested or extracted and fed into an artificial intelligence apparatus, and that's called behavioral surplus. And so it's all the things that you and I are unaware of about what we're doing, and then they're able to, because of the sophistication of the technology, they're able to create predictive models, mm-hmm. predictive of our behavior now, soon, and later.
Okay, so now, is it an accurate assessment to call it like the commodification of our behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact,
I just made that up, I think.
Yes. Well, there are many firms, Google, Facebook, and others, that actually, once you've extracted this behavioral surplus, you then and then run it through your AI program, you now have predictive analysis on groups of people, and that is valuable. And that those that behavioral surplus analysis is then actually traded. There actually are markets for where companies are buying and selling that behavioral surplus in its predictive form, because companies are and other entities, not just commercial entities, but political organizations and others are interested in what being able to play smart bets on what you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. That are and the models are so effective that it creates high probability of how groups of people are going to respond. Now, the problem with that is, at first it presents itself as, well, that might be convenient to me as a consumer because, oh, look, Amazon is offering me...
Those shoes are still there.
Those shoes are still there. Or they're offering me a different pair of shoes that I like even better. Isn't that helpful? Well, what a lot of people don't realize or are unaware of is what one of the major shifts that's happened recently over the last few years is it's gone from sort of this innocuous, benign kind of let's observe and then try to match wants and needs with products and services. They found scientific discoveries was from a behavioral science standpoint is if the big data firms actually get involved and start interacting with their consumers or their people that are online, what'll happen is they've learned to nudge, coax, and even herd us towards their desirable outcomes while suppressing our awareness. We don't even know what's happening. And let me give you an example where that's happened. So you may remember, it was just a few years ago, one of the exciting new games that was out there was called Pokemon Go.
Yep.
Pokemon Go. And so for those of you who aren't familiar, you take your tablet or portable device and it would then show you images out in the world that you would then kind of track down and navigate to. And then once you got to them, you got credit or points for achieving. Well, what people did, and so it was a lot of fun and people were running around and playing this game all over the place. Well, what people didn't realize and where surveillance capitalism comes in and artificial intelligence is there were outside firms that provide things like restaurant facilities, food, drink, and other things. And they paid Pokemon to go to manipulate and put their objects in certain locations.
At the gym. I think they were called gyms is where they had to go to.
Right. And so they would have, so an example was like Taco Bell.
Better than product placement. You take them to the restaurant.
Right, exactly. And so people were being manipulated unknowingly towards and being driven towards or herded or nudged or coaxed towards certain desirable outcomes.
We need to take a quick break. We're going to talk more with Timothy O'Donnell about artificial intelligence. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
For 15 years, Catholic Radio Indy has talked the talk. Now it's time for us to walk the walk, and you're invited to join us. On Sunday, May 19th, we'll be fielding a team of walkers for the Walking for Dreams 5K Run Walk on the Downtown Canal. Funds raised will support the mission of Catholic Radio Indy to convert the culture to Christ through radio. To sign up or for more information, go to walkingfordreams.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Has the weather this winter been getting you down? Let us help you look toward warmer weather and sunshine. Mark your calendar for Tuesday, May 21st for the Catholic Radio Indy annual golf outing. This year, we're moving to a great new course, Ironwood Golf Club in Fishers. It's not too early to get your foursome together. You can register online at CatholicRadioIndy.org. We rely on generous underwriting as well. If you're interested in underwriting or being a hole sponsor, call Valerie at 317-870-8400.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. We're here with Timothy O'Donnell, and we are talking about artificial intelligence from a Catholic's perspective. So can you just outline briefly again what the problem is with this artificial intelligence as it relates to surveillance capitalism, and then what we can do as a response from a Catholic perspective?
Yeah, one of the primary concerns is the surveillance capitalism is watching us and watching all of our moves, extracting and harvesting those behaviors, turning those into behavior surplus that are then fed into artificial intelligence programs, algorithms that then create predictive models of current or soon or future behaviors, all of which is then being traded, bought, and sold between various companies. And what the companies are doing with them is then using those to nudge, coax, and herd us into economic outcomes that they're looking for. The problem is that that then, for Catholics, is, and everyone really, but from a Catholic perspective in particular, what we would point to as problematic about that approach is that it doesn't have the human person, the individual, in mind as the end. We're simply means to an end. And that's a violation of our dignity. In fact, in Centesimus Annus, and it's a kind of socialist impulse. Listen to this. So in Centesimus Annus, which was written by St. John Paul the Great of blessed memory, says this: socialism considers the individual person simply as an element, a molecule within the social organism, so that the good of the individual is completely subordinated to the functioning of the socioeconomic mechanism. Socialism likewise maintains that the good of the individual can be realized without reference to his free choice, to the unique and exclusive responsibility which he exercises in the face of good and evil. So when surveillance capitalism combined with this digital technology, this machine intelligence or artificial intelligence does, it obscures at least, one, it's atheistic, but it also leaves behind the primacy of place of the human person. That's a problem. That's dehumanizing. So it's using us as a, again, as a means towards an end. And that's always a violation according to Catholic philosophical and theological principles. So what our response to that would be, first would be, I think we would want to look, we would want to take in view Catholic, what's called Catholic realism. In other words, Catholics, we believe in reality. There's actual, I know it's kind of sounds silly to have to say, but there's a lot of kooky thinking out there. And yeah, some people think they make up their own truth, they make up their own world in which they live in. But Catholic realism really states that there is an objective world out there, that God is the creator of it, that we can know, learn about these objects and things and God himself in their in and of themselves, and that our for us to find happiness, it's about conforming our mind, our will, our intellect to objective reality. And so why that becomes important is in the sphere of surveillance capitalism, there is no conceptual framework for God. And the technology is being used in a subversive way to undercut our free will and our free choice. So it's a kind of violation of our freedom. You may remember there used to be a term, you don't hear it too much anymore, but remember the term subliminal messages?
Yeah.
Right? And what did we do? And so those were what? Sneaky little things that filmmakers or people using video would embed in images that were designed to what? Short circuit our awareness.
So buy popcorn.
Right, yeah.
At the movie, buy popcorn.
Right, exactly. And they did it in a way so as to avoid our self-awareness and then to manipulate us into performing an act.
Buy popcorn, right?
Right, exactly. You're thirsty. You're thirsty. And they'd sneak in these little images. Well, how did we address that? Well, we wound up outlawing it, right? We said, hey, look, that's a kind of violation of human dignity to, sort of subconsciously manipulate people into doing things without their full knowledge and consent. And surveillance capitalism and artificial intelligence is being used in a very similar way. We are being there's a context that's being written that is not just harvesting our behavioral surplus, but then actually they're engaged in behavioral modification to hurt us or coax us into doing things that we're unaware of.
So how would that be different than what advertisers have always done? What's different now as opposed to, hasn't these kinds of things always been done in terms of advertising and marketing, but maybe it's different? What makes it different with the artificial intelligence? And we've got about 5 minutes left.
Sure. Well, the difference is when you look at a specific ad, you're fully aware of what that ad is and what it's saying, what its messaging is. Artificial intelligence, you have no idea what Google's doing with the behavioral surplus that they've harvested from you. There's a cloak there. There's a clandestine effort to hide from us their actual intention, motives, and outcomes that they're pursuing, even though it's your personal experiences that they have taken from you and are now using to manipulate you and others like you. That's the difference.
And the other thing that I've noticed is that, you know, Facebook has had to come before Congress a couple times.
I've seen that, rightfully so.
Called out on the carpet. And it's like the technology is moving so fast, our public policy and lawmakers who are actually much older, and I'm not even sure if they know how to use their smartphones, you know, are kind of left in the dust. And you know what I'm saying in terms of trying to get ahead of this? But as Catholics, what do we do? That was just kind of an editorial comment. Yeah. I had to get a dig in there.
Well, I think the main thing we do is we should be in contact with and become familiar with the teachings of Holy Mother Church about the dignity and intrinsic value of the human person, that we're subjects and we're not objects. We're not to be commodified, as you mentioned, that we should always be treated as ends in and of ourselves and not as means to other people's ends. There's a particular school of philosophy and Catholic thought. It was taught by St. John Paul the Great, Dietrich von Hildebrand, John Crosby today over there in Steubenville, all subscribe to what's called personalism. And personalism is a recognition that the human person is a gift that is to be given over to other people, and that you always treat the other as a thou and not an it. And so we can come into and study things like Catholic personalism to better ground ourselves anthropologically in what it really means to be authentically human and the dignity and value that comes along with that. By doing that, we would find ourselves rejecting the use of the use of artificial intelligence in the realm of surveillance capitalism, and then we would be called to action to reject it and maybe even stop it or regulate it so that we're not being commoditized and manipulated in ways that we're unaware of because they're doing that on purpose.
Mm-hmm. So how do people find us? So Tim, I don't think you and I, you got your phone right there on the table. You and I aren't getting rid of our phones.
Well, that's the thing. We're trapped in it, right? we're trapped into using this technology.
So probably the best recommendation is to really understand the human person. Is there like a book or a website that would be a really good resource for people to start learning about that? I mean, obviously the catechism. We've got two minutes.
Yeah, the catechism is a great place to start. There actually is a new book out by Dr. John Crosby on the personalism of Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman, soon to be canonized. Mm. And that is a great place to begin to learn more about what we mean by the term personalism and the dignity of the human person. So that would be a great, and that's a relative, that book came out just about a year ago, and that's an excellent resource.
Give me the book title again, and probably can get that on Amazon.
You probably
it's
can.
It's going to follow you.
Right.
What's the name of the book?
It's called The Personalism of Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman.
And then why don't you give the other book title that you mentioned about surveillance capitalism?
Okay, yeah. If you really want to dig in deeper on surveillance capitalism, the place to go is by Dr. Shoshana Zuboff, Z-U-B-O-F-F. So it's kind of an unusual name, kind of easy to find. And it's called The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, The Fight for a Human Future at the New Frontier of Power.
So you can catch Timothy O'Donnell, on the Catholic Cave, right? When's your show air?
Well, we air Saturday and Sundays at 11, and then Tuesdays at, I believe, noon.
So you can catch him there. And in the meantime, what should we do with our phones?
Well, that's the thing. We
use it to make calls.
Well, it begins with awareness, right? It's just this program has just really been about building awareness that technology isn't always benign. It's really up to how we're using it, but we're also interacting with lots of other companies directly and indirectly by virtue of the technology. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, I love doing stuff with apps. I love doing my banking and my shopping and all that kind of stuff. So what we need to do is let's build awareness, and then from there, we'll be able to move forward.
Well, Tim, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for talking with us about artificial intelligence from a Catholic perspective. God bless you, Tim.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.